The red-armored alien leapt onto the bandstand and paced to Ponder, another spike rifle swinging from its belt. It stopped out of Ponder's reach, but well inside its own, yellow eyes gleaming from its angular helmet. The captain smiled, held out the holopad, and thumbed its activation switch. The circular symbol Loki had received from his alien informant flickered to life above its lens. For a moment, the towering beast leered down at Ponder, a predator assessing its weaker prey. Then it reached out its mighty paws, engulfed the projector, and brought it close. Its nostrils flared as it sniffed the crackling air around the symbol. It gave the projector a shake, like a suspicious child with a large but very light birthday present. "What you see is what you get," Ponder said, reaching inside his olive-drab fatigue shirt's breast pocket. The alien pulled its weapon and barked at the captain. "Sorry, only have the one," Ponder said, extracting a Sweet William cigar. He put the cigar between his teeth and retrieved his silver lighter. "Adjust 600 meters vertical. Fire for effect." Loki's voice crackled in Ponder's earpiece. "I can give you 10 seconds. I think I'll stay put and watch the show." The alien snarled something that might have been a question. The captain couldn't tell, but he decided to answer anyway. "Someday we will win," he said, lighting his cigar. "No matter what it takes." The alien warship shuddered as the first supersonic slug from Harvest's mass driver smashed into its bulbous prow, crumpling the iridescent plating with a tremendous metallic clang. At the same time, all the windows in all the towers around the mall shattered. Even before the muzzle crack of the first shot rolled in from the east, a second slug arrived, penetrated the weakened hull, and gutted the warship, stem to stern. Purple running lights on the vessel's belly flickered and died. It listed to port and began to sink and would have crashed down onto the mall if not for its perpendicular orientation. The vessel came down between two pairs of towers on either side of the park and became wedged in the tapered gap between their upper floors. The warship screeched to a shuddering stop, creating avalanches of polycrete dust that followed the sparkling window glass to the boulevards below. In direct contrast, the captain suddenly found himself rising. He looked down and was surprised to see the alien's bladed weapon jammed into his gut, straight through his cast. Ponder felt nothing as his boots began to twitch, and he knew his spine was severed. As he began to twist sideways on the blades, the alien grabbed him around the neck and pulled its weapon back. Unfortunately, the blades hurt a lot more going out than they did going in. Ponder opened his mouth in silent torment and his cigar fell from his lips, its tip bouncing off one of the alien's paws. Snarling, the creature released Ponder's neck and the captain crashed to the bandstand into a widening pool of his own blood. Ponder thought the alien would finish him off quickly, drive a spike through his chest, or crush his skull with a swift stomp of his wide, flat feet. But just like him, the alien had become distracted by a new noise rising above the groan of the warship's rough landing. Seven small boxes were now streaking up the Tiara's elevators, their maglev paddles crackling as they glided against the strands. Though the captain lost sight of the boxes as they passed behind the cruiser, he knew exactly what they were. Grease buckets, used to perform regular maintenance on the Strand's superconducting film. But today, they had a different job and carried a different load. As Ponder reached out a trembling hand to retrieve his cigar, he prayed the buckets made it swiftly to the top. The red-armored alien roared and leapt down from the bandstand. The captain watched as it rallied its companions and ordered them to the northeast, toward Harvest's reactor complex and the mass driver. The three aliens in blue armor tore off on their bladed machines, engines coughing fiery exhaust. Then the red-armored alien raced back to its dropship and rose quickly to the warship. By then, the first cargo containers had begun their climbs. Each was packed with roughly 1,000 evacuees. If everything continued to go as planned, in less than 90 minutes, Harvest's remaining citizens would be safely off their planet. But Ponder knew he had much less time than that. "Loki," Ponder grimaced. "Tell Byrne he's gonna have company." The captain thought of his Marines and their recruits, of all the men and women he'd ever led. He thought of his demotion and was happy to realize he wasn't one of those people who wasted their last precious moments debating how he would have done it different if he only had the chance. He blinked to clear his eyes of some of the polycrete dust now wafting across the mall, and at that moment, Epsilon Indy's first bright yellow rays stretched over the eastern horizon. Enjoying the warmth, Ponder kept his eyelids closed. They remained forever shut.